God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." To me, that means God values words. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Well, okay, so the stage show went on last night. Well, there were two stage shows. One was a one-on-one interview, which as of this morning has garnered about 190 million views. Now, views are not viewers. They're just that. They're views. Some people watch clips a number of times. Now, a long clip like the interview between Tucker Carlson and President Trump, people probably don't watch over and over and over again, but they might watch specific little pieces. Still, the numbers dwarf, absolutely, completely dwarf what happened at the network where Tucker used to work. Because of the numbers, a lot of you probably seen this. This is just one small clip.
I'm looking at the trajectory since 2015 when you got into politics, you know, for real, and then won. It started with protests against you, massive protests, organized protests by the left, and then it moved to impeachment twice. And now indictment. I mean, the next stage is violence. Are you worried that they're going to try and kill you? Why wouldn't they try and kill you, honestly?
They're savage animals. They are people that are sick, really sick. You have great people in the Democrat Party. You have great people that are Democrats. Most of the people in our country are fantastic, and I'm representing everybody. I'm not just Republicans or conservatives. I represent everybody. I'm the president of everybody. But I've seen what they do. I've seen the lengths that they go to. When they make up the Russia.
And when you hear that, it's a very Trumpian response, I think. It's, you know, starting with they're very awful people, they're sick people. There's good people on both sides. I remember that when they turned that into him saying that white supremacists are good people. So ratings-wise, Tucker won. President Trump won. What does that indicate societally to me? Well, it indicates this. They are two canceled people. The party is attempting to cancel Trump, not just the Democrat Party. Republican Party wants him gone as well. The party structure. And Tucker, they tried to cancel him. He's still under threat from the network where he used to work to not do this show. They have sent him cease and desist. I don't think they can possibly pursue a lawsuit against Tucker Carlson because he has become so much more popular. The cancel culture thing doesn't work anymore because there are now alternate platforms and they're working to change that. You watch what they do to Rumble, etc. They're working to change that. What's amusing to me about this is God is truth. Where truth exists, it will get out. Obviously, God's word cannot be constrained, cannot be canceled, but nor can truth. So the ratings win went totally to Tucker and President Trump. The Babylon Bee, I think, nailed the stage show that Fox held. This is their headline. Confused Mike Pence under the impression he's running for president of Ukraine. That position, well, that's accurate. But that position is so out of touch with the deep, deep concerns of America, but they're not the only ones out of touch. The Young Americas Foundation led their first question with this.
Polls consistently show that young people's number one issue is climate change. How will you, as both President of the United States and leader of the Republican Party, calm their fears that the Republican Party doesn't care about climate change?
So the people at Fox, as a stage show, had the candidates raise their hands. Please, candidates, never do this. Because the question was, do you believe that human beings contribute to climate change? Never raise your hands. Speak. Speak up and say, I am not going to answer a complex question by raising my hand. No, I will not play your game. And furthermore, I would love to see, I would really love to see the poll that indicates that climate change is the number one concern of young people. And let's keep in mind the background at Fox, the management of Fox is at this point roughly the same as CNN and MSNBC. We've talked about their charitable giving to the Satanic Temple, to Planned Parenthood, to the Trevor Project, which advocates and helps get money to sexually and chemically mutilate children. So functionally, they're the same. What was also indicative of the change in the world is the glass jaw of establishment Republicans. Such easy rhetorical targets in almost every way you turn. I am not a fan of Vivek Ramaswamy at all. I think he's clever, smart. He's in good shape. He likes to play tennis with his shirt off, and that's his debate prep. That's another act of theater, by the way. I'm not a fan because he has, in my understanding, only voted once, gives money to Democrats, or has. And more importantly to me, he was involved in trying to push medical surveillance of Americans. Still, this is a great line he delivers against Chris Christie, but really, he's delivering it against the establishment.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT.
That's a funny
standing
line.
Up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, "What's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here?" was Barack Obama, and I'm afraid we're dealing with the same type of amateur standing stage tonight.
Come on, give me a hug. Give me a hug just same, like you did to Obama.
The same type of amateur.
And you'll help elect me just like you did to Obama, too. Give me that
same
hug,
type of amateur.
That's the glass jaw. Hey, come and give me a hug like you hugged Barack Obama. Well, like Mitch McConnell hugs Nancy Pelosi. Like Mitch McConnell is doing everything he can to protect the Biden presidency. Like they all come together on one big topic, and that is Ukraine. This question for Ron DeSantis is one of the reasons I call this a stage show. Everybody knows that this is a major talking point for Ron DeSantis as he runs for president.
Would you support sending U.S. special forces over the border into Mexico to take out fentanyl labs, to take out drug cartel operations? Would you support that kind of American military use?
Yes, and I will do it on day one. Here's the thing. The cartels are killing tens of thousands of our fellow citizens. You want to talk about a country in decline? You have the cartels controlling a lot of part of your southern border.
So he will send troops, he says, special forces. Well, can I just say something on behalf of my friends in the special forces community? We have got to stop this addiction to that move. Yes, I actually think we should. If we're going to be in Ukraine, which we shouldn't be in my judgment, we need to be down in Mexico for all the reasons DeSantis says. And if you've been to the separate countries of Seattle or Portland or Los Angeles or any of them, the cartels are coddled. And I'm not being hyperbolic. They know that they risk very little operating. I'll give you an example. In Seattle, the former King County prosecutor, his guy is named Dan Satterberg. I used to call him Heroin Dan Satterberg. He announced he would not charge illegal immigrants with drunk driving. Why? Because they could end up in prison. But he would charge you. The cartels pay attention to this. Vivek Ramaswamy got all over this comparison between our border and Ukraine, and he did it in a pretty serious way.
Mr. Ramaswamy, you would not support an increase of funding to Ukraine?
I would not. And I think that this is disastrous that we are protecting against an invasion across somebody else's border when we should use those same military resources to prevent across the invasion of our own southern border here in the United States of America. We are driving Russia further into China's hands. The Russia-China alliance is the single greatest threat we face. And I find it offensive that we have professional politicians on the stage that will make a pilgrimage to Kyiv, to their Pope, Zelensky, without doing the same thing for people in Maui or the south side of Chicago or Kensington. I think that we have to put the interests of Americans first.
He was
secure our own.
So that makes the moderators uncomfortable, and I could see why it would make people uncomfortable. Catholics might make uncomfortable. And they do treat it this way. They've all made this pilgrimage. So what topic was lightly covered, way too lightly for me? Well, it goes back to Tucker and his show on Twitter, which I know Elon Musk would like us to call X. Perhaps the most important interview that people haven't watched was with Colonel Douglas McGregor, retired. Tucker Carlson had him on the program, and in my judgment, this is one of the reasons Tucker is not on Fox anymore, is discussions like this. He asked the colonel about the state of war in Ukraine.
That's an important question, and not enough people have good answers at this point. I think all of the lies that have been told for more than a year and a half about the Ukrainians are winning, the Ukrainian cause is just, the Russians are evil, the Russians are incompetent, all of that is collapsing. And it's collapsing because what's happening on the battlefield is horrific. The Ukrainians now, we think, have lost 400,000 men killed in battle. We were talking about 300, 350,000 a few months ago. Within the last month of this supposed counteroffensive, which was to sweep the battlefield, they lost at least 40,000 killed.
And on the Russian side, the colonel says it's 50,000, a much larger country, a monumental loss of life. And Jesus wept. There are such things as just wars. It is the colonel's opinion that Russia did not want this war. More disturbingly, it is his opinion that people like Victoria Nuland, who works for our State Department, did want it and does want it and does want American troops involved. And that's where it gets frightening. Tucker Carlson asked the colonel about the readiness of our military.
We're going to continue. And this puts the Russians in the unhappy position of marching further west. Because from the very beginning, Putin and his advisors were never interested in a war with NATO or the United States. That's why you've had such incrementalism, the slow grind of movement forward, defensive operations for a long period to build up the force, and then continued offensive operations. They have over 300,000 combat troops in reserve in Russia. And I think they're sitting there and not being released to fight because President Putin anticipates the possibility that we will intervene in Western Ukraine. And if we intervene in Western Ukraine, the Russians will be ready for that. And the consequences for us and for NATO will be devastating because we are not ready to fight the Russians.
Why?
Oh, I think the readiness has been on the decline for a long time. You've had an almost steady, uninterrupted decline in the discipline that makes soldiers fight. Discipline is a tough thing. We don't always understand it. Discipline is really a form of habit. And you build those habits over time through repetition, but you also build it under stress, under pressure, so that it sinks in. And then you build cohesion within the framework of those units. You don't build cohesion when you're dividing the force on racial grounds, when you're pushing people who are clearly unqualified up the ranks to command, when you're rewarding people for anything other than demonstrated character, competence, and intelligence.
I asked a retired Lieutenant General, Jerry Boykin, about the state of our military as regards to CRT and other divisive things.
You served our country in Delta Force, and I would just ask you something I've asked other team guys. How does critical theory aid in being prepared to fight as a unit?
Well, it doesn't.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I said this morning in this meeting I was talking about a few minutes ago. Our military is in rapid decline. It started under Barack Obama. And
it was a fascinating conversation and a scary one. Because he says our military is compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. That's a retired lieutenant general. Topics like this should have been front and center in the debate. They were touched upon, not enough to my taste. But you know what wasn't? The reemergence of COVID, which is a myth. Yeah, there's a variant. But what they're pushing? Well, we'll talk about that next. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and I would be really happy if we didn't have to do this segment. But God tells us we're not to lie, and to withhold the truth, I think, is to lie. And I continue to perceive an absolute attack against the human body and what it is to be human. And look, medicine, doctors, and nurses obviously have the role. In fact, some of the first hospitals were created by some of the first Christians, as were some of the first universities. We're not an anti-intellectual group of folks. Now, there's some reason to believe that, you know, the expanse, the library of human knowledge was largely saved by Christian people. And that would be a great conversation to have one day. I really wish we didn't have to talk about COVID, but they're bringing it back. It was just perfect for them last time. People who seek to rule, to be served rather than serve, in direct defiance of what God directs of us, and specifically people who've been given the opportunity to be leaders, a tool worked one time, they're going to do it again. And there are people who live in fear of COVID, and I wish that wasn't true. Because for most people, it is like a cold. Always has been. You know Alex Berenson. Alex is a former New York Times reporter and has been invaluable in telling the counter-narrative of COVID using math and statistics. The government has fired back on a suit. Alex is suing the White House, a guy named Andy Slavitt, who works for Big Pharma, and the White House interchangeably, suing Joe Biden for going to Twitter and forcing Twitter to censor him, or rather working with Twitter to do it. I think Twitter did it voluntarily. The government has now announced in their huge motion to dismiss this case that allowing Alex Berenson to write about COVID is a danger to our national security and to our foreign policy. They've risen to that level of a guy who simply said very, very early on, there's another side to this story. And like a lot of us on what we call team reality, he was right. A lot of us were right. And it's not because we have some great human wisdom. It's because we sought wise counsel. Because we measured all spirits against, you know, with God. And Fauci with the spirit of lies. So we have to be on top of this. Why? Because the stakes are these. There are a series of blood clots showing up in young people. An NFL Cleveland Browns player, Marquise Goodwin. A Grammy winner, Tori Kelly. Many, many others who are not famous, who do not get blood clots. And this has happened since the injections. There's 25 cases we could go through, and this is just of people who are well known. That since these injections arrived, that has happened. We know about the heart attacks. We know about the strokes. I hope you know about the turbo cancers. We know about the series of lies they used to push these injections. I'm looking at a screenshot I've kept just in my archives. I have a COVID fact sheet. Because the crazy making, the gaslighting, trying to make people crazy with fear, was so thick that I started a COVID fact sheet. And it's now about 30 pages long, linked to studies, et cetera, and things like this. It used to be that the CDC defined a vaccination as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Immunity, of course, means you cannot get it. When it became obvious that these injections had nothing to do with producing immunity, they changed the definition of vaccination. They didn't change the description of these injections. They changed the description of vaccination to the following. The act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce a protection from a specific disease, protection being indefinable. Tony Fauci has announced that the lockdowns were effective and they need to be brought back. So I feel duty-bound to share with you some things you may not know, such as this. You want to know how long Pfizer had been working on a spike protein-based so-called vaccine? And it is the spike protein that is largely the spike protein that is causing all of these problems. and some other complicating factors, such as the body being convinced that your heart is a foreign object once it hosts spike proteins, as is what happens with these gene sequencing, gene hijacking devices. This is David Martin. He's an expert in intellectual property, specifically around injections and pharma.
Ironically, the common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals, pigs and dogs. And not surprisingly, by the time we got to 1990, we found out that coronavirus as an infectious agent was an industrial problem for two primary industries, the industries of dogs and pigs. Dog breeders and pigs found that coronavirus created gastrointestinal problems, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990.
1990, they were looking at this. A couple years prior to them deciding to admit that COVID was in the wild, because COVID was in the wild about 19 months before they admitted it. How do we know? By sewage samples. Blood samples. We know this now. They were trading patents back and forth on how to approach this virus prior to them admitting it was there. Now, there are few people who will tell this truth from the level of DC. There's Rand Paul, there's others who will tell truth about these injections and about pharma, but the one who does it best and most openly is Senator Ron Johnson. You've heard the conspiracy theory that the stuff people been injected with was never FDA approved. Well, it was never FDA approved.
Now they're not fully approved. Another bait and switch that the agencies are not answering my question. What did you do on August 23rd? You approved a drug that's not available. You say it's legally distinct, but interchangeable. But they extend the EUA on the drug that is available. Would you just explain it? It confuses me. It's confusing all kinds of people. They won't answer the question. And I have had so many questions. The American public should have so many questions.
The questions have been answered in many different ways, such as some of these injection batches are far, far more harmful than others. In fact, there's very strong evidence that early on, some of these injections were absolute placebos, saline solutions. There's strong evidence behind that. And we can get into that if they continue to push COVID. My position on this is no. Politely, no. I will not inject a lie into my body. I will not let you define what it is to be human. I will not wear a mask on my face, which is a lie. It's walking around in a lie. That cannot stop an upper respiratory virus. But it gets far, far, far worse. And this is why the stakes are so incredibly high. Once again, Senator Ron Johnson.
Never got to vaccine. So I want to talk about what we know about the vaccines that the media, the COVID cartel, is not conveying to the American public. The American public is not fully informed as they're making these decisions. But then I do want to try and move on to what's happened. I mean, why is this information being withheld? What are the forces at play? And then finally, I really want to get into what information do we need? I'll just throw one out there. You know, we've now heard of SADS, right? Everybody knew of SIDS. Now we got SADS. I'd never heard of that. When all of a sudden it started being talked about in the news media and been suppressed really for months, these young people just dying on sporting fields, whatever. But now all of a sudden they got a term for it. I'm reading the reports. And as always, in the reports, go, medical experts are completely baffled. What could possibly be happening? These things started in the year 2021. I mean, are you kidding me?
And it's not just adults, sudden adult death syndrome. and at some times with some demographics, such as millennials, we have seen an 80% increase in all-cause mortality. And have you noticed that the Mockingbird media will not talk about this? To conceal truth like this is to lie. And in my judgment, the people who push these injections know what's going on. Well, and why would I say that? Because they're laundering deaths. You can use data for a lot of things. One of the things you can do is launder deaths. When they were trying to make COVID appear as scary as possible, they would literally attribute COVID as the cause of death in people who shot themselves in the head or were killed in a motorcycle accident. It happened in more than one state. They were told to do this. And in fact, when hospitals did that, they got paid. That was the financial incentive. The stakes are incredibly high because it's not just adults who are suddenly dying.
And some new details today. An 8th grade basketball player at Southside Christian recovering after suffering a seizure and cardiac arrest.
Yeah, the school says it happened during last night's game against Brazier Middle College. And we're told trainer Chris Young stepped in and gave Kamari Williams CPR for close to 10 minutes while waiting for the EMTs to arrive.
Thank God Almighty Kamari survived, but many kids have not. It is not a normal thing for teenagers to die from a heart attack upon waking. But that's exactly what you would expect the way these drugs work. And by the way, it's not just the COVID injections. It's also the COVID hospital protocols. I will have back on this program, and I want to talk about this from a perspective of faith, because that's what the Disciples View is about. I've been blessed to talk with a number of families who have lost loved ones in what I firmly believe were killings by hospitals. Now, let me be perfectly clear. I don't think people understand A, the level of evil, or B, how widespread this is. But I've talked to families and the cases are always the same. And here's what's most disconcerting to me. I talked to a woman named Stacy Ogresnik, who first alerted me to how loved ones trying to get their husbands or kids or wives care were treated. They're treated as the enemy. She took her husband Ryan in because he had a mild flu. They ended up having her removed. Why? Because she was asking questions. She was asking questions like, hey, is my husband on sedatives? Because he doesn't seem to be himself. They'd given a medical directive. No sedatives, no remdesivir, no venting. According to Stacy, without informing her, and she has a pending lawsuit, and it's for real. It's very difficult to get a lawsuit like this to pursue or to continue. Hers is. So is a guy named Scott Shara. His young daughter, Grace, was killed in almost the exact same method. They effectively declared both parents enemies, a wife and a father enemies. Stacy's case, she was removed just long enough for them to put her husband on a ventilator. Well, sometimes people need that. He didn't. How do we know? Because he sent Stacy a screenshot of his blood oxygen level. When they put him on a ventilator, according to Stacy, his blood oxygen was about 91%. You know who else has 91% blood oxygen? You, me. Sedatives, in addition to slowing thinking and making it impossible for patients to resist, also lower blood oxygen level. Having lowered it sufficiently, they were telling Stacy, we need to vent your husband. We need to vent your husband. She continued to say no. When she was removed, they vented Ryan against his will. Ultimately, they began injecting with remdesivir, but they lied to her. She kept asking, hey, did you guys put remdesivir in him? Because we said none of that. That drug, by the way, it's the same thing that Tony Fauci did with AZT to people with AIDS. The way she finally got confirmation that her husband was on remdesivir, she called at night and she talked to a night nurse. And she changed her tone. She said, oh my gosh, I just read about this amazing drug. It's called Remdesivir. Could my husband get on this? Could you check and see? She said, hold on. She came back. She goes, oh, good news. He's already on it. He's been on it for a long time. Stacey has shared with the court audio she took of conversations she had with caregivers. Caregivers. Where she said, do you know what you're doing? You know that Remdesivir and venting him and sedating him, this is going to kill him. And the people said, and I'm paraphrasing, don't you think we know that? There's nothing we can do. Our hands are tied. I am not going to stop talking about this because people have not stopped being killed. If you're a healthcare practitioner and a Christian, and you follow the Lord Jesus, I beg you, please take this to Christ. Please examine your role in this. None of you who listen to AFR want anything to do with this level of evil. What happened to Stacy, happened to Scott Shara's daughter, happened to countless other families, and they intend to bring this back. COVID was the election for them, and the election was COVID, and we are not to speak lies, and we are to care for the least of these. This is The Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. We'll come back with the Tower of Babel. Well, we're getting near to wrapping up our second week on AFR, and thanks for listening to Disciples View. I've asked the team at AFR to make sure that I see the emails that come in, and I've been reading them, and I am blessed with a lot of emails, and I am very slow to respond. And I pick as many as I can to do on air. We try to do that once or twice a week. I want you to know I read everything, and I'm blessed by them, and I'm blessed by the emails that provide a constructive criticism. I want to know what you think of the show. And if you've been in communication as long as I have, you get, I don't know that it's a thick skin. I think it's much more curiosity as to what people think. Doing live radio, you can kind of feel the audience. It's different in podcasting. So I want you to know that. And please do go to the AFR website and give feedback on the show. This came straight to my personal show page from an AFR listener. Dear Todd, my name is Diane from Dallas, Texas. Been listening to you on AFR for a week now, and I have to ask you a question about the entertainment business. In the run-up to your program, it says that you worked in Hollywood. What was your role there, and what was your overall takeaway? Is it as bad as we think it is? Thank you for bringing the Lord into your work, and congratulations on the new show. I guess it depends on how bad you think it is. And I mean, it's bad. I understand. I was a bit player. So the only reason I got to do that was I worked at Microsoft, which is a job I got by working in internet radio and selling an internet radio company and gaining some level of expertise at the emerging technological media blend of streaming media. So I knew some things and had some experience in that. And when you work for Microsoft and you're given a checkbook, you become very interesting to Hollywood. So the first thing to know is that the town absolutely runs on money. That little else matters, as far as I can tell. It is also a town that in which people are just extremely, they lack self-awareness as to where they work. And I can explain this in a couple of different stories. One was, I gave a speech. No, that's not right. I led a panel discussion at an event called Digital Hollywood. And it's a really well-run event. The guy who ran it was a great guy, very humble, very nice man. And after this speech, or after this panel appearance in running this panel, I was standing there, and people would come and give you their business cards because everybody at the time, and I mean, it's still true, but everybody wanted some way to do business with Microsoft. So as I'm getting business cards, a young woman comes up, and she hands me her business card with both hands. So as I reach out to take her card, she puts her hands around my hand. And she, I mean, I look at her face, and she says, "My friends and I are former Playboy Playmates, and we will do anything." And she said, "And Todd, I do mean anything to do business with Microsoft, MSN. And my friends are here. They're right over there." And sure enough, there were two very, very lovely young women in addition to this young woman. And I said, "That's very, very flattering. Very nice of you. I am very married, and I will take that under advisement." So what else do you say? I mean, now I guess I would have treated it differently in that I would have said, "You know, I have to tell you, gosh, I feel hurt that you make such an offer, and I'm a discipled man, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus, and he loves you so much. He loves you so much more than for you to do this with yourself." But then again, I mean, that just comes across as the judgmental, mean Christian. So I don't know how I'd handle it. But that's very common there. The other story I would tell you, and we'll get to the Tower of Babbling, is that I was in a, there's a very famous, very powerful talent agency called CAA. And if you ever get a business card from someone with CAA, and I don't know if it's still the case, but it used to be that their business card just says CAA, and then their title and their phone number. I think they have email addresses now, or they added that, but for a long time they didn't. It doesn't say what CAA means. There's no website, because the fact is, in Hollywood, if you know, you know. If you don't know who CAA is, you don't need to know who CAA is. That's the arrogance. And I was waiting for a meeting with their chief creative officer. Really, by the way, also a really nice guy. I don't know him well, but in terms of Hollywood, one of the more friendly and somehow humble people. So as we're sitting there, I'm in the lobby. It's three people. It's myself, a young woman, probably 18, 19 years old, with her resume and such. And to her left, facing me, they're both facing me, is a man who I took to be a screenwriter. And the reason that I think that is that he was really unkempt, had a big long beard and unkempt hair, and he had a big stack of papers, scripts. I mean, they were clearly scripts. So this young woman keeps looking up and looking behind her, and I promise, she had this really charming Southern accent. She finally caught my eye. She said, "Pardon me, sir." I said, "Yes, miss." "Do you know the time, sir?" I said, "Yes, miss. It's 1:15. She goes, "Oh." I go, "Do you have an appointment today?" "Yes, sir, I do." "Was it for 1 o'clock? "Yes, sir." "Is this your first time here?" "Yes, sir. They'll be out at 1:30. "Oh, thank you, sir." Sure enough, at 1:30, a slightly older, just as beautiful young woman, probably 20, maybe 21, comes up in her perfect dress and her perfect whatever fancy clothes, I don't know labels, but perfect dress, perfect watch, perfect hair, and introduces herself, or asks, "Are you Stacy? Would you come with me?" And she walked away. And that screenwriter guy looked at me, and he says, "You know what I'm picturing?" I said, "What?" He goes, "You ever seen the movie The Wall by Pink Floyd?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm picturing the scene where the school kids go into the sausage grinder." He says, that "You won't recognize that girl in 6 months with what they'll do to her here." I said, I know. So to answer your question, yeah, Hollywood is, I mean, there's far worse stories I could tell
but let your imagination fill in the gaps. Hollywood is that. And of course it has to be, because it's built upon the wisdom of men, the brilliance of men, not upon the wisdom of God.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
We simply recognize in this that I think God allows people in these power positions and allows them to display what they have become in these power positions. And I think it's a reminder that God uses this simple to shame the wise. This is from MSNBC. It was in the build-up to the debate. They wanted us to know that the word woke means, well, black.
Tonight, when the Republican presidential candidates take the stage in Milwaukee, there is one word voters should expect to hear: woke. MSNBC's Tremaine Lee is with us this morning. Tremaine, great to see you. The word woke means so many different things to different people. Where does it come from?
That's right, Jose. Well, for generations, the term woke was a part of Black American inspeak. It meant to keep your eyes open, stay aware to the forces that might be around you that might want to cause you harm, be vigilant. But in recent years, it's been co-opted, some would say hijacked, by far right-wing conservatives and turned into anything but a feeling of awareness or a warning for awareness.
Yes, so it was a warning for awareness. It was co-opted? No, I don't think it was the right that co-opted it. It was the sexual left that co-opted it. It was Black Lives Matter that equated woke with being willing to burn down cities. And really what they're saying, what they also said, is it seems like a slur. It seems like, in fact, in a pre-recorded video, this guy interviewed two people, one man and one woman, and they were never identified in the voiceover by MSNBC, but the woman declared, it's almost another way of saying black. It's a way of saying the N-word. I have this saying that when everything is racist, nothing is racist, because when everything is hot, nothing is hot. If everything is cold, nothing is cold. Woke means what people think it means, which is ignorance of the provable, demonstrable, observable scientific interactions, societal interactions. We are not an all-bent racist country. Men are not women. Women are not men. Teaching racism cannot solve racism. Of logic, right? Woke is against all of that. And it's not a way of saying black, but the Tower babbling. That's why we do this. This is ABC talking about a musician named Oliver Anthony. So that's his real name. He's come out and said what his real name is. This song became the number one song in the world overnight. But, of course, it's racist.
I've been selling my soul, working all day.
Out of nowhere to the top of the charts, Rich Men North of Richmond by Oliver Anthony Music is pointing fingers.
These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just want to have total control.
Rich Men North of Richmond is a no-frills attack on the powerful and, controversially, on far less powerful targets as well.
And the whole beast, milk and welfare.
Been boosted by big ups from podcasters like Joe Rogan.
Well, it didn't need the boosting. By the time Joe Rogan got in touch with it, it had already had almost 12 million views. So he mentions in there, if you're 5 foot three and you're 300 pounds, taxpayers ought not to pay for your bag of fudge rounds. Yeah, it's racist. Well, it's racist of this network to say, ABC, that welfare... and fudge rounds means black person. I didn't hear Oliver Anthony say that. So maybe this is part of the Hollywood lack of self-awareness. Now, of course, there's racists. You know why? Because there's sin. And sin breaks us. And racism is a sin problem, as near as I can tell. You know, that guy has arrived on the scene and is making some huge amount of money for these songs from the heart. There are songs that hide in plain view. Songs of beauty, songs of worship, in the oddest places.
You'll probably not remember this band from the 80s. They're called Prefab Sprout. And I don't blame you if you don't remember them. The lead writer, the singer, the mind behind that band is a guy named Patty McAloon. Patty is a devoted servant of Christ, happens to be a Catholic man, and is a, quite open about his faith, but he's also quite open about having the challenge of being almost world famous and how Satan almost used that worldwide fame to almost cast him or have Patty make the decision to cast himself away from God. He's quite open about that. He's written a song that's almost the pop version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. He wrote another song. It's a song that, it came up on my playlist. See, I have been purging my playlist of terrible music, of ungodly music. And what I've left behind sometimes surprises me, and I needed to hear this song on a day. I was just thinking about the mistakes I'd made as a parent and how costly those mistakes continue to prove to be. And I was in the gym, and I was trying to get in a very, very hard workout, and I found myself in tears because of this.
Mercy on me, oh, say that I'm forgiven. And wrap your arms around me. To your goodness I surrender. Without mercy, where is goodness? Won't you have mercy on me?
It's a song from a record called Jordan, The Comeback. And it is about all sorts of comebacks, most of all the comeback of the Lord Jesus conquering death. And when that song hit, I was in the midst of this workout and I didn't stop. I just cried. So as I'm doing rope climbs and pull-ups and deadlifts and sandbag cleans with these 150-pound sandbags, I'm weeping. Weeping for mistakes. Weeping for forgiveness. Weeping for a second chance. It's funny, a brother just said to me the other day that no matter how old our kids get, our responsibilities don't change. They just change how we carry them out. We're still called to raise godly young people, even if they're godly adult young people. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God values words. We speak because we believe. May God be with you and your family, now and forever. Thanks for listening to Disciples View.